So this evening, I'm going to bring forth the word on love. Everybody say love.
Love.
You know, love is one of the hardest things to put into operation. God's love on the inside of us, it can be easy, but then it can be hard. And we're going to talk about love this evening because love is going to make the world go around. Amen? God's love in us and through us is going to make the difference. Because how will the world know? You know, sometimes people get upset about the world. Oh, they're drinking and they're partying. Hey, they don't know any different because that's their nature on the inside of them. Before you and I were born again, we had the nature of Diablo on the inside of us. And so that's the works that we did. But when we're born again, all of a sudden the love of God is on the inside of us. And we're different. So we don't have to get all bent out of shape when the world acts like that. But as us as Christians, we have a higher standard because on the inside of us is a new nature. So let's pray and let's believe God, amen, that God can speak to you this evening. Father, we want to thank you for the goodness of God in the land of the living. We just want to say thank you for the love of God shed abroad in our hearts by Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, we acknowledge you. We thank you for your gifts, your graces, your abilities. We just want to say thank you that you put that love on the inside of us. And with you, all things are possible. And all things are possible to him who believes. And so we want to say thank you, Father, for the plan of walking in love, the desire that you have for your children, because you want each one of your children to be blessed and a blessing. And one of those things, if when we would walk in love, that the blessings of God would overtake us. And so we just want to say thank you, Lord, for the ability. Open up eyes to see, ears to hear concerning the word of God in Jesus' name. And everybody said,
amen.
Amen. Brother Hagin said many times he would always watch his life to see where he is missing it. And many times, because he was called to a very high standard. Brother Hagin, I tell you, because he's ministered to the whole world right now, even though he's gone at age 87. But when he was young, he said he had an opportunity to be through the healing revival from 47 to 58. And a lot of those guys flowed in the anointing of God. The power of God was in demonstration and manifestation. Great signs and wonders and gifts of healing. But a lot of those ministers died early because of a few simple things. One of the things, they didn't read their Bible enough to grow spiritually. And some of them didn't walk in love. Everybody say, walk in love.
Walk in love.
You know, it's not just a love. When you're married, you have a certain kind of love. You know, I love my wife. Amen. And so that's a natural human love. But then there's a higher love. It's the love of Almighty God. The love of Almighty God would love even when they're not loved back. A couple of incidences in the Bible is Stephen. They are beating him, stoning him. He's going to die and leave the earth. And yet he says, Father, forgive them. They know not what they do. And so when you operate in the God kind of love, you're operating on a high level of spiritual development. And so we're going to all have opportunities to walk in love. And you're going to get lots of opportunities. Because if the flesh would say, you hit me, I'll hit you. You spit on me, I'll spit on you. You treat me bad, I'll treat you bad. You treat me good, I'll treat you good. Actually, the Bible kind of, God kind of love is, says, when you have a big party, call those that can't pay you back. And minister unto them, give them some food. Because they can't pay you back, and great is your reward in heaven. And so that's the kind of love that God does. He loved us while we were yet sinners. Christ died for the ungodly. I didn't like God. I liked him, but I didn't like him, his plan, his purpose. But yet he shed his blood for me on Calvary's cross 2,000 years ago. And when I found out about that great love that he has for us, then I want that kind of love in my life. And he accepted me and he forgave me of my sins. And he did the same thing with you. So the God kind of love, the commandments in the Old Testament, there was, believe, 12 commandments or 10? How many is there, Brother Dave? 10. There's 10 commandments. But in the New Testament, God says, hey, I'm going to give you a brand new commandment. So over in John chapter 13 and verse 34, it says, "A new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another as I have loved you, and that you also love one another." Jesus said that there's a new commandment now, because if you walk in the God kind of love, you're not going to murder, you're not going to steal, you're not going to treat anybody bad or harshly. You're going to actually walk in the God kind of love. And when you walk in the God kind of love, you're fulfilling all the commandments. That's the commandment of loving our Heavenly Father, our precious Lord and Jesus, Savior, Christ, and wonderful Holy Spirit who is here right now inside of us and also can come upon each one of us. Amen? And so that's the great commandment, is the commandment of love. And the Bible says in Romans 5:5 that the love of God is shed abroad in our heart by the Holy Ghost. So we have love. In Galatians, it talks about the fruits of the Spirit. The fruits of the Spirit, and that's your human spirit, is love, joy, and peace. But you got to exercise those. I heard that from Joyce Meyer. She said many times the Lord would tell her, put back that shopping cart. Well, you know, she doesn't live in the north here where there's a lot of snow. But anyways, the Lord would say, put back that shopping cart. And that would be one of the disciplines of self-control and actually patience and putting back that shopping cart. And so if you can grow in each one of those fruits of the Spirit, the number one is love. And so you're going to have an opportunity to love the unlovable. If someone speaks bad of you, if someone does something hard to you, and you turn around and love them, you're just like Jesus. Amen? And Jesus says, if you cannot forgive them when they've done you wrong, then I cannot forgive you. Now, I don't know how far Father takes that, but that is a very extreme and a high level of love that he says, you forgive because I've forgiven you. You've had so many sins and they're all washed away. So go ahead and forgive that individual or whoever has harmed you and hurt you. So Galatians chapter 5 and verse 14, it says, all the law is fulfilled in one word. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. Now, I had a neighbor, and again, we're all growing. Has anybody been perfect here? Let's see those hands. Not even Ed? No, nobody. And so there's nobody perfect. But we lived in a house. We've lived in four houses in this city, actually five. And one of the neighbors rattled my cage. That's a bad statement. I'm not an animal. But anyways, said something. And they opened the door, and they hollered, what the F are you doing? We'd go in the bush if you want to start a effing fire. And I got small kids. And so that really, I felt my blood pressure going up. And I said to myself, I failed. I failed the test. I failed it. I could have did better. I didn't holler. It actually was the wife and him. They were a team. They were a team. They were a strong team. Almost like, I'm not going to say it. I'm going to say it. No, I'm not going to say it. And so they're a team. And so they were very rough on us. But guess what? I see them every now and then, and I always say hi. And I always, because the love of God just overwhelmed me since I moved away. But it's bad that it would, we stayed only for 1 year at that house. And I think that we could have lasted 1 year and 1 month. Though. And as soon as the neighbor bought the house, he just put up another fence. Solved. The problem is solved. And so anyways, but the Bible says, do no ill to your neighbor. And you're not wise if you complain about your neighbor. And so I learned a valuable lesson there that, hey, speak well of your neighbor. And that is it. Amen? And so we are supposed to do no ill to our neighbor. We're supposed to do no ill to our neighbor. Love works no ill to your neighbor. A step out of love is a step into sin. Let's all say that. A step out of love is a step into sin. So when we walk out of love, guess what? We are stepping into sin. I know the scripture says, vengeance is mine, saith the Lord, I will repay. And sometimes I say, well, okay, do some vengeance, God. But guess what? God's vengeance is not like our vengeance. Our vengeance is wrath, get it done quick, and just demolish the whole thing. But God, in his great compassion, the Apostle Paul was actually killing Christians, dragging them and putting them in jail. Imagine someone coming in here and taking us away and putting us into prison and into jail. That's a horrible place. And yet, the Bible says that the Christians were praying, they were trusting God, was saying, what are we going to do with this Paul? Maybe he would die, maybe this, maybe that. But guess what? God in his great compassion circled Paul and revealed himself unto the Paul, whose name was Saul back then, and his name was changed. And he became one of the greatest Christians. Here, this is a murderer, a guy that's killing Christians, and he's transformed and changed by the love of God. And so when we do our vengeance, guess what? Many times we are amiss because we cannot judge correctly when it comes to vengeance. Vengeance is mine, saith the Lord, I repay. And God's got a lot of mercy. He's got a lot of grace. But he gives us commandments of what to do, and our commandment is to walk in love. In 1 Corinthians chapter 13, 8, it says, love never fails. Whether there be prophecies, they will come to an end. Whether there be tongues, they shall cease. Whether there be knowledge, it shall vanish away. But love will never fail. So if you never want to fail, guess what? Go ahead and walk in love. Go ahead and talk to God and walk in love in every circumstance and every situation. So the number one way to walk in love is follow on the inside of you. Follow your heart. Everybody say, follow your heart. Your head will tell you certain things. You know, this is the way it should, this is what you should do, this is what you should do. Brother Hagin told an interesting story about a man, actually a ministry couple, that were talking to him, and he says, Brother Hagin, can we speak to you? You got me all confused. And Brother Hagin said, you were confused before you came here. But anyways, the light of God's word showed it up. And so he says, what's the problem? They were sitting at a table, and she said, I hate my mother-in-law. Ooh, you hate your mother-in-law? Yeah, I absolutely hate her. I hate her, hate her, hate her. And this is a woman that hates her mother-in-law, which I guess would be her husband's dad. No, her husband's mother. And so I hate my mother-in-law. And Brother Hagin said, he just said, well, if you do that, you're a murderer. The Bible says if you hate somebody, you're a murderer. She said, well, what am I going to do? You know, she was all distraught. He said, look me in the eye and say, I hate my mother-in-law. She looked him in the eye and said, I hate my mother-in-law. And then he said, what happened on the inside? He said, there's something scratching there on the inside. She said, there's something scratching there. And he said, that's the love of God. You know, if we would follow our heart, our conscience is our heart. And if we would follow it, guess what? We would make wise choices and wise decisions because the love of God is inside of us. We are new creations in Christ Jesus. Old things are passed away. And so we got to be led by the Spirit of God and led by your heart. On the inside of you is all the answers, all the direction. Everything you need is on the inside of you. Brother Hagin would mention, he said, if you want to be healed, you got to first get healed on the inside of you. Have your heart knowing the scriptures. Himself took our infirmities and bare our sicknesses. That it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the prophet Isaiah. Himself took our infirmities and bare our sicknesses. Jesus took my sicknesses. Amen? And it'll manifest on the outside. And so when you're having difficulty, and all of us will have difficulty at different times on walking in love. I mentioned that once before, but those closest to you can hurt you the most, and then that's where you have to really walk in love with the people closest to you, because your heart is wide open, and that's when the knife can really go deep. And so we have to be aware that, hey, we're going to walk in love. And again, if everybody loves you, oh, that's great. You know, nobody's speaking bad of you. They're buying you food and groceries and treating you well and giving you all kinds of things. Well, that's easy to love a person like that. Amen? But it's someone that you maybe go cross-grain with. Maybe there's something a little bit amiss there. And then so that's where we all have to practice walking in love. And God will actually allow each one of us to be tested and tempted. The Bible says he will not tempt you beyond what you are able, but will with the temptation make a way of escape. So God will not allow this trial, this test, this temptation to overtake you if it's too much for you to handle. Did you know that? He will not allow Satan to test you and tempt you so much that you just break into pieces and have a nervous breakdown. No, you'll never be tempted enough to fall because God knows all things. You know, what's my temptation may not be your temptation, and what's your temptation may not be my temptation. Amen? And so there's different people have different tests, different trials, because we grew up in different homes, we had different training, we different locations, and so everybody's going to be different, and so you can't put everybody and just say, well, what's the matter with you? How come you're, you got no money? Hey, it may be something for somebody to have some money. But guess what? God wants everybody to be blessed and a blessing. Well, you can't believe for your health and your healing? Well, the Bible says that, hey, health and healing is ours. And if you've got health and healing, well, rejoice in your health and be thankful for it. And if you're sick, then continually thank God. Amen. Himself took my infirmities and bare my sicknesses. I believe that I received my healing. Amen. It's a fact. It's God's fact because he's provided it for me. And so I want to say thank you, Lord, for it in the mighty name of Jesus. So the number one in walking in this new commandment of love is follow your heart. Another statement someone he mentioned, it says, I'm not going to be responsible for the downfall of anyone. I'm not going to be responsible for the downfall of anyone. Brother Hagin was in a vehicle, and it was in, you know, the old stories he has back in the 30s and 40s. But he said someone came up to his vehicle and started hollering at him and then grabbed him by the coat tie. You know, just today I was driving and someone drove up beside me with a really big truck. I'm not sure what exactly happened. But I'm sure I was responsible for something. I take full responsibility. But I could see he slowed down. He was gleaming through his tinted windows. And I said to myself, you know, if he came up to me and grabbed me, I would have to start punching him. And I learned something after 50-some years. You got to hit him on the jaw. Or hit him in the nose and his eyes start watering. I wish I knew those things when I was younger. I would have used them. And so he slowed down. I looked at him. He looked at me. I was in a big yellow bus. And then he drove off. And then I drove on the other side of him. And I drove off. But you know, if someone came up to Brother Hagin and grabbed him by the tie. Imagine someone grabbing him by the head. There's a few things I don't like. I don't like anybody hitting me on the head. So if you want to fight, I don't know, just even a tap, just until someone comes by, slap you on the head. My dad says your head is very sensitive. It'll rattle your brains. And so I don't like that. And what else? I can't remember the other one. But anyways, there's a few things. But he grabbed him by the coat, by the neck, and started to shake him. And Brother Hagin reached down below, and there was a tire iron there. And he was just going to wallop him, and then he thought he read the headlines. Preacher hits preacher with a tire iron. And so he didn't do it. He let it go. And in fact, the moral of the story is he actually asked that minister. He said, you come and preach in my church. Can't believe it, eh? And he said, you know what? I'm going to take you up an offering. And that man got up to that pulpit, and he broke down crying. He said, folks, I want you to know that I'm sorry. I was wrong. I was wrong. I don't know what transpired there, but something went amiss. But love broke through. Amen? Love broke through. And so you got to follow your heart on the inside of you. What's your spirit saying? What is your heart saying? In Romans chapter 5:5, it says, the love of God is shed abroad in our heart by the Holy Spirit. So on the inside of us is the love of God. Proverbs 20:27, it says here, the spirit of man is the candle of the Lord, searching all the inward parts of the belly. And so on the inside of you, everybody say your spirit. Your spirit is your conscience and your heart. And so on the inside of you is the love of God. And you're going to be led by the love of God, and you're going to be led by the Spirit of God. It's the Spirit of God, and it's the love of God on the inside of you. So anytime you have an opportunity, you're going to have to look on the inside of you and say, hey, what's going on the inside of me? And you're going to always walk in love, because God will never lead you astray. There's only one way that your conscience can be defiled. That's if you violate it time and time again. Time after time. And so if you do it over and over and over, guess what? Then your conscience is going to be seared like a hot iron. Did you ever see a hot iron searing a calf? Shh. Sometimes people drink hot beverages. Have you ever drank anything hot and burnt your mouth? If you give it to a small kid, that same thing that you drank, they would just scream. Why? Because their mouth is sensitive. Their mouth is not used to the hot beverage, not to the hot drink. And so, but our conscience says if you continually push it aside defile it, then you're going to become callous to it. Then, say, for instance, saying a bad word. Like the F word. And if you say that and that wouldn't bother you, guess what? Your conscience is in rough shape. Get to the altar quick. Amen? If you can swear without feeling bad on the inside of you, then there's some issues that need to be dealt with. It should always be sensitive to the Spirit of God and say, Lord, you know, forgive me for that. That wasn't good. You know, I said this or I said that. That's not good. Or maybe you spoke about somebody and it was not even correct. Lord, forgive me for that. That's not good. I don't even know the whole story. And so you don't want your conscience to be defiled and your conscience to be seared with a hot iron. Because God will make sure that you, it seems like opportunities will avail themselves. They'll always come around. If you don't deal with it, guess what? It'll come around again. If you don't deal with it, it'll come around again until finally you can deal with it according to the word and the will of God. And so on the inside of you is the answer to the key. Now your flesh is actually your old Adamic nature still. That just amazes me that this body is still the old Adamic, Adam, nature. On the inside of us, we have a new nature. Our spirits are born again unto God. We love God on the inside of us. Everybody will praise God, love God. But our flesh is still the old Adamic nature. And our mind is well unless we renew the mind continually, day in, day out. Thinking on things that are true, that are lovely, that are good report. If there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. So God wants us to renew our minds and control our bodies. If I got born again and I had a different body, I think it would be great. You know, someone took a picture of me after I got born again, and I thought, you know, on the inside of me, I'm just like, ooh, boy, this is great, I'm saved. But I looked at that picture and I said, this looks like the old guy. This looks like the old creature I used to be. Because it looks like it, but guess what? You're actually new on the inside of you. We're new on the inside of us. But yet we still have to do something with this body. And God requires us to buffet our body, bring it under subjection to the will, to the plan, to the purpose of God, and to renew our mind consistently on the Word of God. So the spirit of man, the Bible says in Proverbs 20:27, is the candle of the Lord, searching all the inward parts of the belly. So your spirit is the candle of the Lord, searching all the inward parts of the belly. God, we're going to direct you on the inside of you, in your spirit. The spirit, let's all say that, the spirit of man is the candle of the Lord. So that means God's going to enlighten us by our spirit. Amen? Praise his holy name. You're going to know what is true and what is not true by the inward witness. You know, when I moved to this city in 2003, I met Pastor and we had coffee and had a wonderful time. But I was actually doing something that was contrary to the plan and the purpose and the will of God at that time. But your heart will tell you. Your heart knows. Amen? And of course, if you run away from it, you can get away with some things for a little while. But after about 5 years, you're not going to get away with it. But you're going to be led by the Spirit of God. It's the same thing with my beautiful wife of 25 years there. You know, when I sat there at that auditorium there with Kenneth Hagin in the overflow section, and the Lord said she'd make a good wife for you, I asked the Lord, I said, I can't believe it. And, you know, you may not understand the whole scenario and the situation, but guess what? He's made a good wife for me. Amen? Because God's word is true and it cannot lie. And so what God's word says is true. But people just go by the outward appearance. You know, I'll tell you this story. It's a sick story, but anyways, I was in Yorkton and I was 17 years old and it was my first real job where I'm away. And so I was in Yorkton living with these bums. And and we went to this guy's house, eh? And he was a drug dealer. This guy was a drug dealer, eh? And I looked on his wall there. He had little bunk beds, eh? And I was in his room there. And, you know, I don't know if you're associated with the drug culture, but they're nuts. But anyways, he's sitting there. There's a bunk bed there. And he had this picture. And it looked like from the Sears catalog. There was a woman there. And it was from I said, what's that? He said, that is the perfection of a beautiful woman. You know, he took it out of the Sears catalog. Is that crazy? Or what? How many of you read the Sears catalog? Well, when we were on the farm, we'd get the catalog. Hey, it's thick. And so you'd go through all of it, and there's all kinds of things to buy. And at least one person likes that story. And so he cut this out, and he said, this is the ideal perfection. And I thought, this guy is sick. You know, he took a picture out of the Sears catalog and put it on his wall there, and that's his idea of the most perfect woman. Well, you know, it's just crazy. But anyways, on the inside of us, we're going to be able to be led by the Spirit of God. God's Spirit's going to lead us. And you're going to know what's right and what's wrong. Now, I wish some things that are in our spirit, you know, our minds would say, no, I don't want to do that, or I don't want to do that, or I don't want to do that. But yet on the inside of it, you know it's right. And you know it's right every time God tells you to walk in love, to walk in forgiveness. How many of you wanted to give somebody a piece of your mind ever? You wanted to tell them off. Anybody here? Can I have one bidder? Jerry put up his hand there. He's a Frenchman. Amen. And so he wanted to give somebody a piece of his mind. And so all of us wanted to at times, but how many of you know, if you walk in love, you're not going to give them a piece of your mind. Amen. Unless you got the mind of Christ, go ahead and give them that piece of your mind. So the old Adamic nature is the flesh, but on the inside of us is the love of God. In 1 John 2:5, it says, but whosoever keeps his word, in him verily is the love of God perfected. Hereby we know that we are in him. 1 John 2:5. Now, 1 John has a lot of things about love. Sometimes it actually shocks us as Christians when we read some things because we think, oh yeah, we're just right on the right track. Everything's perfect. Everything's good. But guess what? There's a lot of things in the scripture that'll actually challenge you. Are you really walking in love? Are you really walking in love? So 1 John 2, 3 to 11, I'm going to read that portion of scripture. And whereby we do know that we know him, that's God, if we keep his commandments, and that commandment now is love. He that says, I know him, and keep not his commandment, that's the commandment of love, is a liar. So I could be a liar, a spirit-filled one, but yet not have the love of God. Isn't that something? That he that does not keep the commandment of love is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whosoever keepeth his word, in him verily is the love of God perfected. And that's the goal for all of us, is to be perfected in our love, in our love walk. Hereby we know that we are in him. He that says he abide in him, in God, ought himself so to walk, even as he walked, Jesus. Brethren, I write no new commandment unto you, but an old one which you had from the beginning. The old commandment is the word which you heard The old commandment is the word which you have heard from the beginning. Again, a new commandment I write unto you, which thing is true, that in him and in you, because darkness is past and the true light now shines. He that says he is in the light and hate his brother is in darkness. So if you say that you're in the light, but actually deep down inside you hate your brother or somebody that's offended you or hurt you or done wrong to you, is in darkness even unto now. He that love his brother abide in light. Now that's supernatural. He that love his brother. You're going to have to go above and beyond the call of duty to love. You're going to have to go above and above the call of duty to love, to share God's love with people, even though they don't deserve it. They absolutely do not deserve it. But guess what? God, we didn't deserve it, and God loved us and gave himself for us. And so he is in the light when you walk in God's love. He that love his brother abides in the light, and there is no occasion of stumbling for him. He that hates his brother is in darkness. Now, before we were born again, you know, I never cried much before I was born again. I know it seems strange to me because I seem to cry at different times. But how about that there? There's a good crier right there. We're crier buddies. I feel the spirit and we start to cry. Amen? We should hug each other, eh? And cry. No. But I never cried before I was born again. I don't remember. Only once I had some bitter tears. I can't remember what it was. It was something to do with the family. Because when you got a lot of kids in the family, and you're in the bottom. But I came racing out of the garage, upset about something, and I went like this. And I stepped on a thing. The combines have these pickups with these pokey things on them. And they were right there. And so my foot went in one. It didn't poke right through, but it went in. And then it went like this. And then the other one went in it too. And I fell to the ground. And then they took me to the, they got me some penicillin. So I didn't die. But the moral of the story is, I thought about Jesus at that moment and how his feet were pierced. And so I didn't cry much. But soon as I got born again, I tell you, the tears flowed freely. Amen? Why? Because you got beat. You got beat and you surrendered your will to God's will. You couldn't beat God. And he took you down. And you surrendered your life to him, and now you belong to him. Amen? So before we were born again, you know, Brother Hagin says throwing a hammer at his brother and stuff, and hitting his brother in the head. Well, I didn't want to kill anybody, but I did a few little things that were contrary to the love walk. But, you know, there's some people. Oh, yeah, my dad actually listened to Brother Hagin. I got some cassettes for him. And he said that he didn't like the part where his dad, Brother Hagin said, I made a pact with my brother, we're going to kill our dad when we get older. We're going to kill him dead. Because he left our house, he took off and he ran away. And he didn't, he come from a good home. But anyways, he wasn't a family man. And he took off and he ran. So him and his brother Dub were going to kill his dad as soon as they got big enough. And he said the only thing that stopped him from doing it was the love of God. The love of God will forgive you. Amen? When I was in kids camp, there's a kids camp story because Pastor Steve has a kids camp. The whole story. I don't know if he has it. But anyways, this is a counselor. He's a counselor. He was a high-ranking guy. And I was about 8 years old, and so I didn't listen. Is there any eight-year-olds that don't listen at one time? But anyways, this guy, they said we were having a race or something. There was a whole pile of kids. And he said, on your mark, get yourself set. And I took off running. And he said, hey, get back here. On your mark, get yourself set. I took off running. He said, get back here. And then he came up to me, Pastor, this is a preacher. A high-ranking guy in kids camp. And he he put his foot down. I don't know if he stood on my foot, but he just shoved me to the ground. Oh, the humiliation. Oh, everybody's watching. And then he grounded me. I couldn't go swimming. It was bad, I tell you guys. But in my heart, I hated the guy with a passion. I always thought I would try to find him when I got older. And I want to declare to everybody what his name is. And we're going to find this guy. We're going to drag him back to this city. We're going to deal with him, treating little kids like that. Amen? I think his name was Doug Hope. Because I don't know if he's still alive, but he's... Anyways, back to the story. So before you're born again, you don't have the love of God in you. But after you're born again, I can't see finding the guy, really. Because the love of God is shed abroad in my heart by the Holy Ghost. I walk in love now. How about you? Okay, so he that hates his brother is in darkness. So anytime you find that you hate somebody, H-A-T-E, you are in darkness and you're no better than the scoundrels that don't love. And so you gotta love. Hate his brothers in darkness and walk in darkness and knows not where he goes because the darkness has blinded his eyes. 1 John 2, 3 and 11. So that's the first one. You got to follow your heart. Number two, you got to forgive and keep a clean conscience. Forgive and keep a clean conscience. The Apostle Paul says, I always try and endeavor to have a clear conscience. Now, I'm going to read a portion of scripture before we close here in Ephesians 4, 32. Ephesians 4 and verse 32. Galatians, Ephesians 4 and verse 32. Now I'm going to read backwards. Is that okay with you? So you start with 32 and then you go upwards. And so 32 says, be kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another. So if you're going to walk in the commandment of love, you're going to have to walk in the commandment of love, and also you're going to have to forgive. So be kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake forgiven you. So just be kind and tender-hearted one to another, especially in the church and outside of the church, even with unbelievers. Number 31, let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, evil speaking, and put away from you all malice, which is evil thinking. Go ahead and put it away from you. You got to put it away from you. Why? Because that's the old nature. Your new nature now on the inside of you. Your flesh is still the Adamic nature, but on the inside is the new nature. 31, let all bitterness, wrath. He's talking to Christians in the Ephesians church. Let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, evil speaking be put away with all malice. Verse 30, and grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you are sealed until the day of redemption. If you grieve the Spirit of God by not walking in love, you're grieving Holy Spirit. Verse 29, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. So no corrupt communication should proceed out of our mouths as Christians, but that which is good to the use of edifying, blessing one another, speaking well of one another. Not putting one another down. Just because you know the Bible and someone else doesn't know the Bible, should we put them down? No. You should endeavor to build them up. And verse 28, let him that stole, he's talking to Christians, steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands the thing which is good that he may have to give to him that needs. And then it says here, verse 27, and give no place to the devil. See, you got to do something. If you allow those things in your life and my life, I'm allowing actually the devil to take a foothold in my life because he is a murderer and the father of murders. He is the devil. And verse 26, be angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down on your wrath. Verse 25, put away lying. Speak every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. Verse 24, put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Verse 23, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind. And verse 22, and that you put off concerning the former conversation the old man, which is corrupt according to its deceitful lusts. And so to walk in the commandment of love, the new commandment, you're going to have to follow your heart, and you're going to have to forgive and keep a clear conscience. So let's all stand. Amen. Let's all stand. Thank you, Father, in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father, in the name of Jesus, that your word declares that we can walk in love in all times and in all circumstances and in all situations. I'm just going to read the Amplified Version. Love endures and is patient and serenity. Love is kind and thoughtful. Love is not jealous or envious. Love does not brag or is proud or arrogant. It is not rude. It is not self-seeking. It is not provoked. It's not overly sensitive or easily angered. It does not take into account the wrong endured. It does not rejoice in injustice, but rejoices in the truth when right and truth prevail. Love bears all things, regardless of what comes, believes all things, looks for the best in each other, hopes all things, remains steadfast in difficult times, endures all things without weakening. Love never fails. It never fades out or ends. As for prophecies, they'll end. Tongues will cease. The gift of special knowledge will pass away. Now abide faith, hope, and love. But the greatest of these is love. And so if you and I never want to fail, we're going to have to walk in love. We're going to have to forgive and keep a good report. So, Father, we just want to thank you for the commandment of love that each one here, Lord, as we weigh on our own hearts and look at our own spirits, we say thank you, Father, for helping us to walk in love. Wherever we've missed it, we'll endeavor to make it right. We'll endeavor to clean that up in the name of Jesus. Oh, Father, we want to pray for each one that they would have the supernatural ability of God's Holy Spirit to work through each one of us to walk in the God kind of love, to love just like you love Jesus, because we are born of you. Everybody say, I am born of love. Amen, amen. Hallelujah.